We sang a verse. Here is the translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures, with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. Now in chapter 1, there were six symptoms of pure devotional service, because this nectar of devotion is giving us a look into pure devotional service. So the six symptoms which we should have learned in chapter 1. Number 1, pure devotional service brings immediate relief from all kinds of material distress. Number 2, pure devotional service is the beginning of all auspiciousness. 3, pure devotional service automatically puts one in transcendental pleasure. Number 4, pure devotional service is rarely achieved. Number 5, those who are in pure devotional service deride even the conception of liberation. And number 6, pure devotional service is the only means to attract Krishna. Now there are some statements by Lord Chaitanya when he was instructing Sanatan Goswami, which will also help us get in the proper mood. Please repeat: Sadhu Sangha, Nama Kirtan, Bhagavat Sravan, Mathura Vas, Sri Murtira, Shraddhaya Sevana. These are the five items that are special amongst the 64 items of pure devotional service. Please repeat. One should associate with devotees. Number 2, chant the holy name of the Lord. Number 3, hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Number 4, reside at Mathura. And number 5, worship the deity with faith and veneration. Now Lord Chaitanya says, Sakala sadhana shrestha e pancha anga, Krishna prema janmai e panchera alpasanga. These five limbs of devotional service are the best of all the 64. Even a slight performance of these awakens love for Krishna. So here in Kundan Loka, let's see what we do. Do we associate with devotees, Krishna Kumar Das? That's 1. Do we chant the holy name of the Lord? 2. Do we hear Srimad Bhagavatam? We hear Gita or next. That's. Do we reside at Mathura? Yes, we reside at Kundan Loka. And do we worship the deity with faith and veneration? Then we're doing all five here at Kundan Loka. And those of you who are joining us on the internet, and Mahatma says yes with 3 exclamation points. Very good, Mahatma. And now we're up to 13 devotees. Gaura Priya has joined us, and Yugala Kishore in Detroit. Welcome, welcome to Kundan Loka. Yes, Krishna Kumar Das. So today we are dedicating this program to Amol, his wife and daughter, who are joining us for after a long, long, long from San Jose. Hari Bol. Thank you, Gaura Priya. Pam Ho to you also. All right, let's continue. Lord Chaitanya is now going to describe the 9 symptoms of Bhav. Please repeat. Chantir. Please repeat. Avyartakalatvang, Viraktir, Manashunyata, Ashavandha, Samutkanta, Namagane, sadaruchi asaktis tadgunakyane pritistad vasatistale ityadayo anubhavasyur jata bhavankure jane.
When the seed of ecstatic emotion for Krishna fructifies, the following 9 symptoms manifest in one's behavior. The first one, shantihi, that means forgiveness. Number 2, avyarta kalatvam, concern that time should not be wasted. Number 3, virakti, detachment. Number 4, mana shunyata, absence of false prestige. Number 5, asha bandha, means hope against hope. Sumut kanta, eagerness. Nama gane sada ruchi, a taste for chanting the holy name of the Lord. Asaktistad gunakyane, attachment to descriptions of the transcendental qualities of the Lord. And number 9, pritistad vasatistale, affection for those places where the Lord resides, namely a temple or a holy place like Vrindavan. These are all called anubhav, subordinate signs of ecstatic emotion. They are visible in a person whose heart, the seed of love of God, has begun to fructify. And anyone who would like a copy of these introductory prayers, all they have to do is email me, and I'll be glad to send you these prayers so that you can follow along. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra one time. All right, so we are studying chapter number 31 of the Nectar of Devotion, entitled Additional Symptoms. All the previously mentioned 33 symptoms of ecstatic love are called vyabhichari, or disturbing. All these symptoms refer to apparently disturbed conditions. But even in such disturbed conditions, there is acute ecstatic love for Krishna. These symptoms, however, can be divided into 3 groups. First class, second class, and third. There are many disturbing symptoms in ecstatic love, such as envy, anxiety, pride, jealousy, conclusion, cowardliness, forgiveness, impatience, hankering, regret, doubtfulness, and impudence. These are included in the 33 conditions of ecstatic love. Srila Rupa Goswami has very nicely analyzed the different kinds of disturbing symptoms. And although it is very difficult to find the exact English equivalents for many Sanskrit words used here, his analysis will now be presented. When one becomes malicious upon seeing another's advancement of life, his state of mind is generally called envy. I was asked this question Friday night, and I answered it pretty much the same way. That's good to know. So this is Prabhupada's definition of envy. When one becomes malicious upon seeing another's advancement of life, his state of mind is generally called envy. When one becomes frightened at seeing a lightning bolt in the sky, that fearfulness brings on anxiety. Therefore, fearfulness and anxiety may be taken as one. One's desire to hide his real mentality is called avahita, or concealment, and a desire to exhibit superiority is called pride. Both of these may be classified under pretension. In a pretentious attitude, both avahita and pride, are to be found. So before we go on, this reminds me of a realization I had many years ago, that one may think, oh, why should I read these books? They're only religious books. I'm not going to learn anything. So even though we are reading about ecstatic symptoms of love of Godhead, this paragraph is also very pertinent even to someone living in the material world. So we're getting transcendental knowledge, but that transcendental knowledge is also very practical in our day-to-day existence. That's why I always emphasize, please, for your own benefit, read Prabhupada's books. There's so much you can gain by excavating the treasures in Prabhupada's books. Knowledge is power. Let's continue. One's inability to tolerate an offense committed by another is called amarsha. And one's inability to tolerate the opulence of another is called jealousy. Jealousy and amarsha are both caused by intolerance. One's ability to establish the correct import of a word may be called conclusiveness. And before such a conclusive determination of import, there must be thoughtful consideration. Therefore, the act of consideration is present during the establishment of a conclusion. When one presents himself as ignorant, his attitude is called humility. And when there is an absence of enthusiasm, it is called cowardice. Therefore, in humility, there is sometimes cowardice also. When the mind is steadfast, it is called enduring. And one's ability to tolerate others' offenses is also called endurance. Therefore, forgiveness and endurance can be synonymous. Anxiousness for time to pass is called impatience. And when one sees something wonderful, one is said to be struck with wonder. Impatience may be caused by being struck with wonder. And so impatient and being struck with wonder can be synonymous. When anxiety is in its dormant stage, it is called hankering. Therefore, anxiety and hankering can also be synonymous. When one becomes regretful for some offense, his feeling is called bashfulness. In this way, bashfulness and regret can be synonymous. Doubtfulness is one of the aspects of argument. After exhibiting impudence, one becomes restless. Therefore, restlessness and impudence can be synonymous. When all such symptoms are included in ecstatic love, they are called sanchari, or continuously existing ecstatic symptoms. All of these symptoms are transcendental, and they are exhibited in different ways, acting and interacting under different conditions. They are like the reciprocation of love between the lover and the beloved. When a person is envious or defamed, there may be a change in the color of the body. This may be classified as vibhav, or sub-ecstasy. Sometimes illusion, collapse, and strong anxiety are also considered to be vibhav. When there are many such symptoms, they can simply be grouped together under ecstatic love. Srila Rupa Goswami says that fright, sleep, fatigue, laziness, and madness of intoxication are sometimes grouped under continuous symptoms of ecstatic love, and they are due to a strong attraction. False argument, determination, steadiness, remembrance, joyfulness, ignorance, humility, and unconsciousness are also different symptoms of ecstatic love. Dependence is also grouped under ecstatic love, and this can be divided into superior dependence and inferior dependence. The direct differentiations between superior and inferior dependence are ascertained by Rupa Goswami and will be presented in due course. One devotee exclaimed, "Oh, I cannot see the district of Mathura." Even though by simply hearing the name of Mathura, the hairs of my body are standing up, I cannot see the place, so of what use are my eyes? This statement reveals a strong anxiety to see the district of Mathura resulting from a strong attachment to Krishna. There is another instance of this strong attachment for Krishna expressed by Bhima when he began to murmur, "My arms are just like thunderbolts, but despite these arms, I could not smash Shishupal while he was blaspheming Krishna. Therefore, of what use are these strong arms?" So the incident that is being referred to here is the Rajasuya sacrifice. And in that Rajasuya sacrifice, Sahadev, one of the Pandavas, stood up and gave a nice speech saying how Krishna should be the first one worshipped. But then Shishupal protested and he started to criticize and blaspheme and say so many bad things about Krishna. So Bhima here, he is now talking about that incident. In this instance, Bhima became angry, and being influenced by such anger, his hopelessness became a cause for strong attachment to Krishna. This instance can be described as strong attachment for Krishna in anger. When Arjuna witnessed the universal form of Krishna, whose dazzling teeth were practically devouring the very existence of the universe, Arjuna's mouth became dried up. At that time, Arjuna forgot himself and could not understand that he was Arjuna, Krishna's friend, although he was always dependent upon Krishna's mercy. This incident is an example of inferior dependence. Sometimes ghastly activities also support strong ecstatic love for Krishna. This state of mind is called ecstatic fearfulness under illusion. In the 10th canto, 23rd chapter, verse 40 of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is the following statement by the Brahmanas who were performing sacrifices. Quote, "We have all been born into three advantageous conditions. We are in high Brahmin families, we have ceremoniously received the sacred thread, and we are also properly initiated by a spiritual master. But alas, in spite of all these advantages, we are condemned. Even our observance of brahmacharya is condemned." That story, which is found in Krishna book, Krishna sent the cowherd boys and he told them to go to the Brahmins and beg some food. But the Brahmins were too busy engaged in their sacrifice, and they told the boys, "Don't bother us now." So the boys came back to Krishna, and Krishna said, "Well, that is to be expected when you go out begging. You're not always going to be successful." But then Krishna told the cowherd boys, "Go to the wives of those Brahmins. They are my pure devotees. Those Brahmins are not my devotees, but their wives are." So when the cowherd boys went to the wives, and they asked them, "Mother, Krishna and Balaram have sent us." As soon as the wives heard Krishna and Balaram, they gathered all kinds of food, put them in baskets, and didn't give it to the cowherd boys. They went to where Krishna and Balaram were staying. And those wives of the Brahmins, they had so much love and affection for Krishna. And when Krishna tried to tell them to return home, those wives of the Brahmins said, "No, we're not going back home. And we don't want to go back to our husbands. You say to your devotees that if we surrender, you'll give all protection. So we have come to surrender to you. Now you have to give us shelter." But ultimately, Krishna convinced them that they should return home and serve their husbands. So when this took place, later the Brahmins realized that they could not appreciate Krishna and Balaram, and they actually considered themselves to be inferior to their wives. They realized that their wives had spontaneous, pure devotion for Krishna, and they were still caught up in materialistic, fruitive activities. But still, even after that, the Brahmins could not surrender to Krishna. Why? They were afraid of Kamsa. They were afraid that if they surrendered to Krishna, there would be some retaliation from Kamsa. So they remained inferior in position to their wives. Let us continue. The Brahmins thus began to condemn their own activities. They realized that in spite of being so elevated by birth, education, and culture, they still were under the spell of the illusory energy. They also admitted that even great yogis who are not devotees of the Lord are covered by the influence of material energy. This kind of hopelessness felt by the Brahmins who were performing ritualistic ceremonies shows practically no attachment for Krishna. There is another hopelessness, however, which shows attachment for Krishna. When the bull demon attacked the damsels of Braja, they began to cry out, "Dear Krishna, please save us. We are now gone." This is hopelessness with attachment for Krishna. When the Keshi demon was assassinated by Krishna, Keshi had come in the form of a horse. Kamsa sent the Keshi demon, and that Keshi demon took the form of a horse. And how did Krishna kill the Keshi demon? Because Krishna knew the way to control a horse is to control the horse by its mouth. So Krishna took his arm and put it in the mouth of the horse. And when he put his hand in the mouth of the horse, Krishna's hand and arm felt like a hot iron rod. And then the Keshi horse demon died because of the hot iron rod of Krishna's fist and arm in his mouth. When the Keshi demon was assassinated by Krishna, Kamsa became hopeless. He said, Keshi Daitya was as dear to me as my own life, but he has been killed by some cowherd boy who is crude, uneducated, and ignorant in fighting. Even though I have defeated the King of Heaven without difficulty, still I do not know the value of life. Because this hopelessness has a slight touch of attraction for Krishna, it is to be considered a reflection of ecstatic love in hopelessness. Kamsa once rebuked Akrura by saying, You are such a fool that you are accepting a cowherd boy to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply because he has defeated some harmless water snake. So that so-called harmless water snake, that was a Kaliya Nag. The Kaliya serpent had poisoned the Yamuna River, one lake in the Yamuna where he was residing. And everything around that lake had died because of Kaliya's poison. But there was one tree that was still alive, a Kadamba tree. And Krishna climbed on that Kadamba tree and he dove into the lake. And Kaliya was thinking, oh, my home is being attacked. So Kaliya took child Krishna and enveloped him in his coils. And for 2 hours, Krishna remained in the coils, wrapped tightly by Kaliya. And all the residents of Vrindavan, except for Balaram, all the residents of Vrindavan were practically dying seeing Krishna for 2 hours wrapped tightly by this Kaliya snake. Yashoda was so enraged. She went into the lake trying to save Krishna. And they had to stop her. What are you going to do? But all the residents of Vrindavan were crying out. But Balaram was smiling. Because Balaram knew, this is my brother. What this? So when Krishna saw that everybody was totally in anxiety, then Krishna escaped. And then he started to dance on Kaliya's hoods. Kaliya had many, many hoods. He had 100 main hoods. And Krishna was kicking on his head, doing a dance. And every time he would hit on Kaliya's head, Kaliya was getting weaker and weaker. And Krishna was dancing on each hood, dancing and dancing. And Kaliya was getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And finally, he was starting to cough up blood and poison. And his wives, they approached Krishna, the Nagapatnis, they approached Krishna. And they begged Krishna, don't kill our husband. He's all we got. And Kaliya's wives, they chastised their husband in front of Krishna. They actually told, yes, we know our husband's a rascal. We know that he is envious. But Krishna, you please save him. Those Nagapatnis, they are actually great devotees. And it's evident by the prayers they offered to Krishna. And because of the prayers of the wives of Kaliya, Krishna is one of the few demons Krishna did not kill. All the other demons, Krishna killed. 2 demons he didn't kill. Who was the other demon Krishna did not kill? What's that? Bhanasura. He gave him an arm cut. Bhanasura had how many arms? 1,000. How many did Krishna chop off? 996. He left him with 4. But he didn't kill Bhanasura. Do you know why he didn't kill Bhanasura? Who knows the answer? why Krishna did not kill Banasura. Nobody knows? I know. Krishna did not kill Banasura because Banasura comes in Prahlad's dynasty. And when Krishna in Narsingha killed Hiranyakashipu, Narsingadeva said, I will never kill anyone else in your family. So because Banasura comes in that dynasty, then Krishna cannot kill Banasura. Banasura's forefather was Bali. Did Vamanadeva kill Bali? No, he cheated him. He took everything away, but he didn't kill him because of that promise. Krishna keeps his promise. Okay. Let's read a little more. This is an instance of maliciously opposing element caused by hopelessness in ecstatic love for Krishna. One devotee tried to console a kadamba tree when the tree was lamenting because Krishna had not touched even its shadow. The devotee said, my dear kadamba tree, do not be worried. Just after defeating the Kaliya snake in the river Yamuna, Krishna will come and satisfy your desire. This is an instance of inappropriate hopelessness in ecstatic love for Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One more time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.